From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a few minutes, a new airport in El Paso exclusively for military drones. First, though, a five-alarm fire in downtown Dallas this morning delayed DART and shut down part of I-30. No one was hurt. NBCDFW.com reports more than 100 firefighters responded to the 4100 block of Commerce Street shortly after 3. No word yet on the cause. Investigators believe the fire began in a warehouse surrounded by several residential and commercial buildings. Block schedule classes run like the multi-hour science lab you might recall from high school or college. Some schools use them, many don't. As part of KERA's American Graduate Initiative, Bill Zeeble reports on the difference a schedule can make.
It's the end of another class period at O.D. Wyatt High School in Fort Worth ISD. Only here, that means something different because most periods at Wyatt last twice as long as other high schools in the district.
Research shows that more time given to students, you know, that's the way to go.
Principal Lewis Washington Jr. likes the block schedule where the first three classes of every day last 90 minutes instead of 50. Core courses are taught every other day.
You know, and especially with our kids who, in a low socioeconomic area, they need that.
Two-thirds of the 1,200-plus kids at O.D. Wyatt come from low-income families. Some students, including 16-year-old Michaela Edwards in language class, like the schedule.
Because when block schedule, if you have, core classes, you get more time to do the work for the next time you go to that class.
Edgar Delgado sits right next to Michaela.
In regular classes, I get tired of regular classes, going to the same class every day. That's just boring. But on block schedule, I get to go one class, then, not the next day, then again. So each time, I'm not, the same schedule all the time.
But boring goes both ways. Alexis Smith, in O.D. Wyatt's 10th grade nursing class, doesn't like the long class periods.
It's too long. You get bored and then you stop listening.
Classmate Alondra Velasco agrees.
I don't like the 5-period block schedule because it's 90 minutes and it's longer and kids get more distracted and it's gonna disrupt the teacher and it's gonna give everyone a harder time than it should.
Velasco and every student in this class is here by choice. These kids picked the class in this school with the goal of becoming a nurse and getting college credit on graduation. On second thought, Velasco alters her take on the block schedule, but maybe only for this course.
During this class period, it does help when it's 90 minutes because we learn a lot of new things that we're not used to learning.
Students here give the block schedule mixed reviews. Fort Worth ISD's only other high school using it is Trimble Tech, so students in the career and technical ed classes there can take internships. O.D. Wyatt adopted the schedule with grant money a few years back, and Principal Washington says the approach needs time to work.
If you go 50 minutes and that teacher is top-notch, that teacher is going to make it happen. But the problem is that teacher at the top-notch will tell you, I need more time because I can be double top-notch.
Washington says teachers also need to spend more planning time to make the block schedule work, and that's part of what he's working on. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
You'll find more stories in the American Graduate Initiative stable at keranews.org. Now to this week's vital signs. Researchers have found people diagnosed with diabetes in their 50s are significantly more likely than others to suffer mental decline by their 70s. In this week's Vital Signs, Dr. Angela Bendel of Methodist Charlton Medical Center explains why the age at diagnosis matters.
I think it's a progression of a process that's been going on. In the diabetic patient, you have deterioration of kidney function, you have loss of vision, and in advanced cases, you have peripheral neuropathy or damage to the nerves in the feet, which causes ulcers and sometimes amputations. Mm-hmm. So it stands to reason if there's nerve damage in other areas, that there would be nerve damage or central nervous system damage, and whether it's through the vasculature or the nerve cells themselves in the brain. And I think that's a toxic effect of prolonged elevated blood sugar.
So it's not something that happens all of a sudden or just out of nowhere?
No, and that's not what they seem to find in this study. They compared a series of 3 tests over 20 years that they administered to over 13,000 patients identified as having prediabetes or diabetes. And they compared those participants with the non-diabetic population and found that there was cognitive decline that was measurable in the diabetic versus the non-diabetic.
How does diabetes affect memory loss?
You know, I think that just like in other organs, the kidneys and the nervous system and the eyes, that it's a toxic effect. You know, elevated blood sugar with the lack of insulin or insulin resistance, the blood sugar isn't getting where it needs to be to do what it needs to do. All of your cells need glucose, but the insulin or the defective insulin isn't helping the blood sugar to get there and to be utilized. And it causes damage by floating around in the system. Elevated blood sugar in general in the bloodstream is toxic wherever it is, and it seems to affect other end organs. So why not the brain? It stands to reason that the brain will be affected. And it's, yes, for at least 10 to 20 years, it's been noted that there is a dementia or a cognitive decline associated with the prolonged diabetes.
Are there symptoms of this to watch out for?
Drinking more, going to the bathroom more, and being fatigued all of the time, and you can't really explain why that is. Because diabetes usually persists, especially type 2, for a number of years before it's diagnosed, unlike type 1, where there's an absolute deficiency or the body is not making the insulin. With type 2, it's a slower process, and you might not
be confused with other things or whatever.
You might think you're not getting enough sleep or you're not exercising enough. There might be other reasons to explain your fatigue. But if you have a history of high blood pressure, that's one reason to get checked for diabetes or any of these symptoms.
Once memory loss has been determined or detected and you can connect it to diabetes, is there a way to treat that?
The memory loss, once it's there, there's non-reversible memory loss. And if it's coming from the prolonged toxic effects of diabetes, it's unlikely that you can reverse the damage that's been done. But you can slow that progression by controlling the blood sugar.
So obviously the key here is to try to avoid developing diabetes.
This study was looking at later in life, but there are people that are diagnosed with diabetes in their teens and 20s. Even the type 2 that used to be type 1 was diagnosed earlier. You're seeing more and more type 2 and more obesity.